The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
So, Mind Pump listeners, before we get started on our awesome show, don't forget to go to mindpumpmedia.com. We have something special for you right now.
Yeah, we do.
We have the, what's it called, Doug? The RGB.
RNF.
Super bundle. The super bundle. So let me explain for 10 seconds what the, maybe longer than 10 seconds, probably like a minute, what the super bundle is. Here's what you get. You get MAPS Anabolic, which is red. You get MAPS Performance, which is green. And you get MAPS Aesthetic, which is black. This is 9 months of programming. So that means we're going to take you from zero to $1 million body, 9 months.
Yeah, we got you.
We got you. You literally, you don't have to worry about anything. Yeah. The programming is all there. You start with red. There's three phases in red. Then you go to green. There's four phases in green. And then you go to black, three phases in black. You need to focus on maximum strength, muscle, mobility, and aesthetics. By the time you're done, you're going to look pretty damn good. 9 months. So we're not bullshitting, right? We're not telling you, 10 days to a better, better body.
Don't they get a better legit? Don't they get a better deal on the forum too, Doug?
If they do that, do they get a discount?
Strong, sexy,
they get
lean.
Half off on the forum.
And they get half
so
off.
So if they do that, they also get 50% off on the forum.
You could interject any adjective there.
Yeah. And there's two options, by the way. You could either buy the programs outright, or you could do a monthly payment plan on them. But again, that's 9 months. So so you basically don't have to worry about anything. For 9 months, you've got all your workout programming professionally laid out for you, exercise demos, videos, all that stuff. So mindpumpmedia.com.
Well, you know what's on there also are the new sexy caps that you're wearing there.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It feels great.
You guys are trying to turn me into a hat-wearing person. I've never worn hats.
I think we should create a poll because I really do feel like the ladies love it.
The hat?
Oh, yeah.
On me?
Yeah, bro.
Really?
It's good.
You think the ladies like
look.
It on me?
Yes.
It looks good on you.
Yeah. It gives you a little more balls.
I want to know... Now I know you're full of shit.
Yeah, well,
because that's impossible. I want you to be honest now, okay? Because you guys know the rule. We made this rule a long time ago. As soon as the mics come on, there's no more lying.
Yeah, it's like totally truth.
You have to be 100% honest. Yeah. Be honest now. Do I look better with the hat on or with the hat off?
Better?
Why you gotta put us in a corner like that?
That's what I thought.
Do I look good in it? And I'll say yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But better?
But, yeah,
this is a different story.
It is hard because you look fabulous.
Well, maybe it's because we're used to you without wearing it. Right? We just need some time to adapt.
Yeah, but see, I feel like Adam has a hat face. Justin has a hat face.
Hashtag hat face.
I don't have a hat face.
When
I put a hat on, I look like a child.
Do we need a more narrow one for you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, can you, Doug, is
you
there
want a
way,
real pointy bill?
Can you make
it's
me,
like a big beak.
It goes all the way down.
Can you make me a beak hat? Let's invent a new hat. Well, the beak hat.
You know what? You could make like a newspaper one. You know, you just make those hats that goes like way
a,
out.
A sailor?
Yeah, sailor it's hat.
Like, oh, the ones that look like...
Sal Sailor Hat.
Sal Sailor
That's
Hat.
That's the next gear.
Sal Sailor Hat. .com If you go there, check out some
pictures
of me in my sailor outfit.
Get your Guido ass like a fedora. That's what we're gonna do.
No.
There you go.
You know what?
Fedora, that would be cool.
Fedoras have been they've been adopted by the nerds. So now, I just fucking launched it right back at myself, didn't I? I guess I'm gonna wear a fedora.
Of course you are. No,
you mean the hipsters is what you meant. Yeah. Like the hipsters are wearing it now.
Different than nerds.
Yeah, that is different.
Yeah. So, did you guys read the article that one of our forum members posted? I think it was Nate posted about how cursing could be affecting our bottom line.
I couldn't find it, so you're going to have to enlighten me.
No, yeah. I read it.
I couldn't fucking believe it.
Fuck.
God damn it. Yeah. No, basically.
Is it negative or positive?
Yeah, it says basically that some people will curse because it gives them like an edge or whatever, and it becomes a part of their brand.
Mm.
But ultimately, how it affects your reach, your audience, you're not going to be able to reach as many people, and you're going to turn a lot of people off because of the cursing. For example, on Mind Pump, if this is your first episode, I promise you we'll talk about some good information eventually. But we do give great information, but it's peppered gratuitously yes. with F-bombs and, you know, dick jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if we should stop. Maybe we should stop saying bad words.
Do you want me
words.
To slap you right now?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Shitty mouth.
You know what? That's the most Justin's cuss in an entire episode in the first 3 minutes.
I have
you
to know, get it out.
I think there's a...
shitty mouth.
There's a way to cuss and there's a way not to cuss.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, there's. I think there's cussing etiquette.
For sure.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's part of conversation.
Absolutely. Like, here's a perfect example. Yeah. Okay.
You can't say fuck.
Andrew Dice Clay does not understand this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, if you've ever watched, like, Andrew Dice Clay's, like, stand-up is just, it's all you do here is fuck, well, shit, blowjob, this, that.
Back then, he was just trying to shock and awe everybody.
Well, exactly, right?
That's why
he did that. That's the only reason why he went, because his comedy is horrible. Yeah. It's horrible comedy, but he went somewhere. He did well for quite some time. And it was because he was the first guy to actually probably push that. I mean, Richard Pryor, of course, everybody knows that it started. Eddie Murphy, they have the raw side to them. But Andrew Dice Clay took it to a whole other level. He took, okay, these guys are raw. I'm going to say nothing that's not a curse word or, you know, pornographic. Everything he's saying
horrible.
Is, yeah, horrible.
Yeah.
And when you listen to someone like that, when you sort of listen, after a while, it just becomes...
It gets old.
Yeah, it falls on deaf ears because you can't... You're just same thing. All you hear is fuck this, that. You can't... there's no conscience.
There's a clever way to do it. Like, you don't want to overuse it. In my opinion, I think that.
So, do we do it cleverly?
I think when we first started, we talked about this.
I think we might have overused it.
Yeah, we over. We agreed.
We were nervous.
Yeah, we agreed that there was a little probably nerves going on when we first started off, and for some reason, swear words help you calm down.
You know what?
Not sure.
Brings me back to my safe place.
It's interesting. Any studies that prove that.
It's interesting because if you listen to early Mind Pump and you go through chronologically, it's you can clearly hear our evolution. Of how, you know, the show, you know, evolved, and you can hear a lot about what's happening in our personal lives. So a lot of that is reflected. But in the beginning, it was all chemistry, no skill, like because it was new. We didn't know what the hell we were doing, and so we got excited and we said a lot of bad words. You know, there was a lot of bad words and a lot of episodes that were questionable. Right.
So, but it fits our brand too, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not about like conforming to some kind of like cookie cutter, you know, formula. So I think that people write articles like that. They completely stay in the box, and they're the ones that go through, you know, the academic realms and try to get like legitimate jobs and, you know, stay within this like very like narrow pathway of thinking. And fuck that.
Yeah.
Is what I'm
saying. A little more anarchist.
I just used it there purposely to drive a point home.
Yeah. And you know what? The reality is when you're, especially a bunch of guys, when you're hanging out with a bunch of dudes and people get comfortable, that's how people talk. Like, people throw words out left and right. Not tons, but it's just the way we talk.
Well, I just look at it, too. Like, I mean, I don't swear in any other realm other than when I'm hanging out with my buddies. And we just, it just comes out just because we're jokey or, you know, we're just relaxed. And, you know, like there's places in where I won't swear, you know, and I'm very conscious of that. Like in front of my kids or like, you know,
places. Has anything slipped out in front of your kids?
Not really. Yeah.
Dude.
It's pretty easy. Well, maybe once or twice.
I remember my son
smashed my hand or something.
Did you? I remember my son was 3. I don't remember what he was doing. I think he was building something and then it fell over and he goes, "Oh shit!" You know, we're in the back, and I'm like, "What did you just say?" And I'm like, "Domenico, what did you just say?"
Yeah,
he's like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "When the blocks fell, what did you say?" He says, "Shit." I said, "Do you know what that means?" He says, "No." I'm like, "Okay, I don't want to make a big deal because then you're gonna be saying it all the time."
Right.
Let's just hope you forget.
You're like, "Son, that doesn't fit there."
Yeah. Or how about when your kids? Yeah. I don't know about you, Justin, but when my boy was younger, he couldn't say fire truck. He said fire fuck.
Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah.
I remember. I actually heard a bit this guy was talking about. I think it was the guy from Police Academy, the one with the real crazy voice. He was talking about even he was on a plane and like there was some kind of like accident or something like and they were held up and there's all these fire trucks and he was on the plane with all these guys going to Special Olympics and so he was trying not to be all like offensive and inappropriate about it, but he was like, you know, one of the kids on there was just like, "Fire fuck!" fuck, fuck. And they just kept saying that, and like he was dying. You know, I was dying.
Yeah, no, my son would say that. So my brother would come over, of course, his uncle, and he would always get him to say fire truck. He'd be like, hey, what is this a picture of? And he'd be like, fire fuck. And he'd say, can you say that again real loud? And we'd all look at my brother.
Thanks,
like,
uncle.
Yeah, you know, speaking of special needs, did you see all the drama that's going on right now with 50 Cent?
50 Cent?
Yeah, you guys didn't see that?
No, but I saw Rich Piana slapping some kid.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys all about that story, too. The 50 Cent did like a, what's it called? Not a Periscope or whatever, but he had a Snapchat of him teasing and fucking with this autistic kid.
What? No.
Yes, dude. He worked at the airport. And he was fucking with him, and he did it live and broadcasted on him. And boy, is he getting
he deserves it.
For sure, it was bad. You gotta see it; it's really bad. So that just came out, and then you, like Justin said, the Rich Piana thing was in that. I'm not sure how much of that is a ploy to get attention. Right. So.
Well, do you know who that guy is that he did that to?
I like way looked researched him all up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I didn't know much about it. I remember him because I used to go on the bodybuilding.com forums a lot. Because a lot of times, believe it or not, on those forums, people would sometimes post like these links to like studies and stuff. And so and then there's also funny pictures and whatever. Mm-hmm. This guy was like a thing on those forums. Like people would talk about him. And he was this kid who liked to lift weights. He, you know, he was definitely, you know, special needs, but he would post pictures of himself flexing. And so people would make fun of him at first, but then he became kind of liked and he had, you know, a lot of people on there would kind of back him up, right? Because this kid was kind of resilient. So apparently I think this kid told his social, because he developed a social media following.
He's a huge following.
Yeah, huge following.
He's like 30,000 people that follow him on YouTube, and his Instagram's like
12,000 or 15,000,
something like that.
So apparently he called in what's called an Order 66 on Rich Piana, and I didn't know what that meant. Apparently Order 66 is from Star Wars.
Yes.
And so explain that, Justin.
Yeah, so basically...
That's where it came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh great. I'm excited
it's
now.
It's when like the... basically, like Emperor Palpatine, he wasn't the emperor at the time, but
look at this guy, you know, serious about it. Let's hear the history, Leslie.
I feel immediately embarrassed.
No, I'm so excited.
Because like he had basically like these.
Come on, I want to hear it.
I'm going to get this out. You know, the stormtroopers at the time weren't the stormtroopers. They were the clone troopers that he was using, you know, manipulating. They were working with the Jedis, and then he put out an Order 66, and then that's when they killed all the Jedis. So that was like the big order.
So it was like a tap.
It was like this is now, you know, we're going to unleash, you know, our forces out there.
Got it. So he called an Order 66. Anyway. On Rich Piana on his social media. So all these people were going on there and just trolling the fuck out of him. You know what I mean? They'd make comments or whatever. Apparently he got some death threats. I don't know about any of that. So fast forward, this guy, and I don't know his name. I can't remember the kid's name, but he
goes by Lord Vader is his Instagram.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you look up Lord Vader,
that's what he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, make sure that's correct. Cause, we might as well give this kid credit.
Yeah, he sounds like what I would be if I didn't have self-control.
Yeah, so he went to some
self-awareness.
Was it some fitness convention or something that he went to?
Yeah, he's all into that stuff, right? He goes to
Lord Vader 25.
Oh, is that what it
is? Yeah, and his name is Jason Genova. His name.
Yeah, you're right.
So he went to some fitness convention where Rich was, and Rich recognized him, and then Rich was like, "Hey, you know, you need to stop talking shit to me. It's all on video. It's all on video."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, "Hey, I got to get you back though for, you know, causing all that social media hell. Why don't we do some slap boxing? Is that okay? Do some slap boxing."
Yeah.
And you can tell the kid is kind of like, "Oh, okay. I get, you know," because he's like a big fan, right?
Yeah.
So he knocks him around. He like smacks him around.
Yeah. Well,
and he hits him pretty hard. And you can see the look on the kid's face.
Well,
he didn't even let him
slap him back, really. He was just like slapping the shit out of him.
Yeah, yeah. Dude.
And like, come on, dude.
And Rich is a big...
He's like way bigger than this kid.
Well, you see, too, he's like totally backpedaling now, right? Because
he got into it a little bit. You could tell.
Well, you could tell he was pissed. I mean, this guy is... What he does, okay, this whole Order 66 thing, which I went... When I was digging into him, I found that, you know, he was part of the whole Shreds thing. So he's been, he called the
really?
Order 66 on Devin Physique's mom, Devin Physique, wow. Joey Swall, all those guys. And he does, he's got a pretty large following. So he sent, he, and he gives people the information. So he lets them know, oh, they're doing this, they're photoshopping. Then he tags people.
It's like troop of trolls. And like
then
he, going to
yeah. And then he tells, go. And then they all start going and then disliking everything and reporting their sites. So they end up
just
getting
attacking.
Yeah. Just like, just being super obnoxious. So huh. I'm sure. Yeah, and he did the same thing to Rich Piana. So I'm sure when he did it to Rich Piana, you know, as a lot of the people that are attached to him were saying shit, and it probably was hurting business. I mean, a lot of these guys
it gets personal for
yeah,
sure.
Oh, for sure. Especially these guys that have built their entire image and business around social media, and then you get somebody that has a little bit of power. I didn't realize.
So then he's on film. He's on film smacking around someone who's like a third of his size, who's also, you know, special needs or whatever.
Right.
Like he's bear pawing him. It's not like a smack. It's like a,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, it wasn't good.
Did you know that all these guys too are all connected, like the Cali Aesthetics and all those other pages that call everybody potatoes, and their whole page is built around, you know, basically trying to discredit everybody.
Troll that's, city.
Yeah. Right. So they're all attached.
Oh, I don't know.
They're all part of each other and attached, and they all kind of have the same mission of going out and basically terrorizing these people that, you know, put bullshit out there. Which I'm like, I have feelings. I'm like,
you're
torn.
Like, it's self-regulating.
Exactly.
Kinda, right.
Yeah. There's a part of it.
It is. It's ugly. It's an ugly, you know, reality of the information age that this can happen. It's happened to big celebrities, like huge celebrities. But I mean, you see when a celebrity does something, they have to apologize right away because of the social media shitstorm.
Yeah.
It gets ugly. I don't like it, but it is. This is a byproduct of, you know, free information. And you have to learn how to deal with it. Either A, you're going to pay for shit that you say because you deserve to, or B, sometimes you don't deserve to, and you got to be strong in your position to deal with this shit, you know, because you could have a political opinion that isn't necessarily bad. It's just a lot of people disagree with, and you got to be prepared to stand your ground if you get shit on by, you know,
well,
by
especially
a lot of
if you're
going to
put it out there, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's why I'm careful about what I put out there. You
really?
Know? Yeah.
Sure. I don't think we're that careful.
I want to see like right before he puts send. Like I don't see any bead of sweat.
Well, you know what? I guess I should say I take that back. Right? I don't put anything out there that I'm not.
That you won't stand behind.
Yeah, bring it. You know what I'm saying? Right, say some shit to me.
Thought it way through.
Yeah, like I've done a couple posts lately about marriage stuff, and I've of course offended a bunch of people. Right? You know, people are just get all if you're you know married and been happily married for 10, 15 years, and I'm putting out stuff out there that's kind of mocking marriage in a sense. I get these people that, and it's just like, dude, fuck off. First of all, if you can't have a sense of humor, you're lame. Second of all, you know, don't come at me with that stuff like that. And then you get guys too. I don't know why people do this. I get people on my page that will do that, and then they'll come on and they'll be like, unfollow. They like tell me they're unfollowing. I'm like, no,
wait, man.
Yeah, wait.
What
let me
can I do?
They want it's because they want you to know. Like, yeah. Pay attention, B. Yeah. I'm gonna slam the door on the way out.
Yeah, right. Otherwise, I would never know you stopped following because nobody knows who the fuck you
burn
are.
Burn out in the parking lot.
Well, here's the thing. This is a conversation I've had with my children, actually, many times. This is the thing about violence, about physical violence. You can be in the right. Someone can say something to you. Someone could do something to you. And they're wrong and you're right. But the minute you're the first person to resort to physical violence, you have now become wrong. It doesn't matter anymore. Someone can come up to you and say the most hateful, hurtful things to you or to someone else, and you can respond with a punch or a shove or whatever. And the second you do that, the loss shows that you're wrong. And on a moral level, you have escalated to the next level because words are words.
Yeah,
you know, physical violence is another level. So, you know, if someone's going to piss you off like that, I mean, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I guarantee you there's a point that I will reach without someone having to hit me, where I'll probably hit them first. But that doesn't mean it's going to be right. It's just you should always try to avoid getting to that level no matter what, because then you become the wrong. You know what I mean? You become the bad guy.
Really?
And that's what happened. Like if Rich didn't do that, he wouldn't be the bad guy.
Oh,
at
no,
all.
Of course not.
You know, but because he did that, it doesn't matter. that this guy, you know, called Order 66 or whatever on him.
And you know what, though, in, you know, I like Rich. So this is me half talking shit and saying I like Rich. I think I love
him. Oh, I respect the hell out of the guy.
Yeah, he puts a lot of information out there. He keeps shit real. I don't think he's the brightest guy ever. I definitely don't think that was a smart move, you know. You got a lot of attention from people. I mean, to put yourself out there to do that. Even the fact that he was special needs guy made it go crazy. But just to do that with anybody would be stupid. Like I wouldn't do that with a normal person. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like if you got on me and you started just antagonizing me on social media and stuff like that, giving that person attention gives them the power.
Here's the way you do that. If you want to do that, I've seen a couple MMA guys do this because MMA fighters a lot of times will get trolled hard on social media by guys that are like, I can kick your ass, I can just talking shit.
That is like,
and I've seen a couple of videos
that people do that.
I've seen a couple. It's because it's easy to be brave behind your keyboard.
Of course,
I've seen a couple videos where a pro MMA fighter will say, "Fine, come to my gym. We'll have you sign some forms, put on some headgear, and then we'll go at it." And believe it or not, a couple people
some
have actually
people
done
take
this.
Him up on that.
And I saw one fight where he did that, and he just got of course, he get his ass
mop the floor with a kid.
But you could tell that the MMA pro, I forgot what it was, it had some restraint too. He's not trying to kill the guy. He's just like, I'm just going to kick your ass.
Teach him
a
lesson, really.
And see, that's okay because you did it in a ring. We put on gloves.
Yeah, no, I agree.
There's a ref. We signed some waivers. Here
there's rules involved, you know. It's like an athletic kind of a setting. I honestly do. I think that's the way, sometimes it does escalate to a point where you're like, man, this should be resolved, with something. But like, if you can set something up like that, that would be the ultimate, to where it's like, okay, you want to talk about like how brave you are and how physical, you want to get, like, let's do this, but let's make it, under a certain standard. Like, it's kind of old school. I think that's, that art is sort of lost. Like,
bro,
there's a code, that men have. If you're going to come across the line of, what it is in my values, like, there's going to be some kind of something that's going to happen.
And you want to know something? The funny thing is, if you ever do that in the real world, you're at a bar, someone's in your face talking shit, whatever, you think it's going to escalate. I've had more than once where I've said, fine, we can settle this outside. Let's go outside and fight like men. Go out, and the dude won't. They just won't. All of a sudden, it's like, I don't want to. Because they either want to throw a punch at you real quick before you recognize what's going on, or B, they were just bullshitting the whole time. Yeah. But once you go outside and square up and like, okay, it's going to happen now, and it's even, there's not going to be any sucker punching, most people will back down.
Most people are just caught up in the emotion at the time. There's been in situations like that where I've been out with my girl or been with somebody like that, and so that something happens, and if you say it really calm, like, hey, you know what? Right now, I'm with somebody right now. This is not the time for us to do this. But if you want to try and see how this works out for you, why don't we meet? I'll meet you here at this place, at this location, and we can figure this out if you want to. And nobody ever follows up. You know what I'm saying? It's never like, it's not that serious, right? I'm angry right now. I want to make a scene. I want to sound cool and tough right now because maybe I'm in front of my buddies or my girlfriend.
And I think that's the point, really, is that you know, if it's that heated and it's that, like, you need to, obviously it does need to go there, but I'm just saying, like, it normally diffuses because it's just the heat of the moment kind of a thing.
Or you have Doug in your corner because he'll stab them, right?
He'll hand you the shank and
like American Me. Remember that movie?
Yeah, exactly.
So there was another article someone had posted on the forum. I guess it's about a recent study.
I'm glad you're doing this because I was just going to tell you the other day that we share on this podcast that the forum is just flooded full of information that we could barely keep up
with. Dude,
we should definitely start talking about some really good, the stuff that we come across and sharing that with the rest of
them. Oh, we're learning from them almost every day.
I'm
going to
tell you,
it's
become one of my number one references for learning new information. Because we have, and obviously because we have a lot, first of all, we have a lot of trainers on there. So there's a lot of people who are very experienced as personal trainers, experienced competitors, bikini physique, that kind of stuff.
Doctors, PTs,
we've got
nurses,
some doctors,
physical therapists,
some,
chiropractors.
We've got some brain hackers on there who are all into, hacking cognition. And so they'll just post and discuss random articles. And, it's just a bunch of like-minded people. So I'm learning from there more than anywhere else now. It's pretty cool. Mm. But anyways, this research just came out that analyzed how the body grew muscle when you compared training a muscle group, a body part, once a week, twice a week, or 3 days a week. So they looked through and they analyzed 10 studies and did some of their own stuff and they come up with some conclusions on what the best type of frequency for muscle growth. Now, what's interesting is we've talked about this probably a million times on Mind Pump. Our programs are based on the principle of frequency, which is just sorely lacking in modern bodybuilding and muscle building routines. And guess what? The science completely 100% supports what we've been saying this entire time. They found in these studies that 2 or 3 days a week of a body part, training a body part, is superior to training a body part once a week in terms of building muscle. But here's the key. The key in these studies isn't that you're necessarily doing more exercises or more sets total for the week. You're just splitting up your workout on those 2 or 3 workouts, just like we've recommended in the past. Right?
Yeah, we've been trying to voice that for the longest time.
Right. So instead of doing 12 sets for chest on Monday, you're doing 4 sets on Monday, 4 sets on Wednesday, and 4 sets on Friday. And when you do that, you get far better results.
I think that's where people go wrong, too. They don't understand because it sounds obvious, right? If you hit a muscle more frequently, that it's going to grow more.
Right.
I think it's pretty obvious to everybody. But where people, I think, get mistaken is they think, oh, I got it. The way I train chest right now, I need to train that on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's not that. It's not that at all. In fact, and that's the hard part, I think, for people that have been caught up on a bro split for a very long time and they transition over to MAPS anabolic, is learning to get out of that mentality. Like, you may only do, 3 to 5 sets of something. It's okay. You're not, it's not, and people think when they first do it, it's not enough.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I need more. It's not enough. I'm going to do more. It's like, no, you don't actually.
Just being around you guys, it seems like this is taking over, like people are getting it. But then I run into a kid. I was at the gym and I hadn't seen him in a long time and he had great gains and I was like, wow, man, you look great. He'd lost 60 pounds and looked real muscular and he'd been doing the splits and the split routine. He'd been eating just fish and asparagus and no carbs and all this kind of stuff and super extreme. And the first thing he came up to me is just oh my God, I've hit this crazy plateau, And so he's just talking about this and all his lifts. He just hit that max capacity. And I'm like, look, man, you've literally hit the tip of the extreme with, how you can, deprive yourself of calories and, train at a high intensity. There's a better way to do it. And I'm like, now you have to really, you got there, you look great, all this stuff, but dude, how can you sustain this? How can you even improve from here? Well, we have to start thinking about this differently and start talking to him about MAPS and then also just training more frequently with less intensity and, more volume and frequency and, thinking about how to nourish the body instead of deprive it from all these nutrients.
I can't wait to see how he does.
Right, exactly.
Don't you find it fascinating, guys, that it's only in bodybuilding that we have this problem? When you compare it to marathon running, to sports, to anything else,
frequency's king.
Yeah, everybody else understands it. Yeah. You would never approach it. And I know we've said this before, if your fitness journey is like a marathon, well, we say that so much that I think people just kind of oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a long deal. It's a long deal, right? But no, think more, even more detailed about a marathon runner. The best of the best marathon runners, nobody comes out and runs as hard and as fast as they can for the first mile.
That's so true.
None of them. And they would never be the best at it if they did.
Yeah.
If they did, what would end up happening? They would bonk. They would have to walk and slow down and recover and then do it again. And at that pace, they're going to get their ass whooped by the person who learns how to consistently pace themselves for 26 miles.
Well, even if you compare, since we're looking at runners, right? Of the runner's world, what type of runner would represent a muscle builder more than all the others, right? Sprinters. Sprinters, and if you look at a sprinter, they look like they lift weights, even if they don't. Right. Big, powerful, muscular legs.
Fast twitch legs.
Fast, because they're training in a way that stimulates fast twitch muscle growth, right? Just like when you lift weights. Even sprinters do not train hardcore sprints for 3 hours one day a week.
No way. They'll tear something.
They train, they sprint frequently. They practice sprinting on a regular basis. Some days are more intense than others, but it's very frequent with their training, and that's how they're able to improve upon their speed, and that's what's making their leg muscles grow. What would happen if I took a sprinter And instead of saying that he did, let's say he does 40 minutes 5 days a week of actual sprinting, you know, along with the rest of his workout. What if I combined all those 40-minute workouts and said, okay, you're going to do all that sprinting on Monday, and then we're going to take the rest of the week off? Well, first of all, the only benefit he's going to get is from the first 40 minutes. Now he's fatigued.
Oh, man.
He's not sprinting anymore. Now he's just...
he's hating life.
He's just grogging through his running routine. And when it comes to building muscle, this is what happens. If I train too long with too much intensity in one workout, I stop working fast twitch muscle fibers. It just becomes an endurance. You know, I'm just building endurance.
And then you damage the body, and then like you get into that same trap we've mentioned previously.
You do, and your body doesn't respond well. But why then do bodybuilders? Why then? Because this is a question that inevitably comes up every single time. People will come up to me and say, "Sal, you tell me full body routines or working out the whole body 3 days a week or MAPS or whatever is superior to a body part split. Why then do 99% of bodybuilders and physique competitors train with a traditional body part split?" This is the question I always get, and here's my answer. Number one, the science already demonstrates that increased frequency for most people is going to be more effective, okay? So there's some theories as to why, because we really don't know why. We don't know the specific science. But one of the theories is, and we've demonstrated this in studies as well, is that the muscle-building signal, and they can measure this through protein synthesis, is elevated for around 48 hours, okay? So when you lift weights, you send a muscle-building signal, and it peaks, and it's up there for about 48 hours. After about...
which a lot of people know this, right? A lot of people understand that, right? That when you lift weights, this happens, but I don't think if people understand the bell curve part of it.
Right.
And where that comes
in. So you get that muscle-building signal. So think of a graph, right? I lift weights, boom, the signal starts to ramp up. It peaks at about 24 to 48 hours or so, and then it starts to go down. By 72 hours, that muscle-building signal is almost gone. Now, that doesn't mean my muscles are recovered. I could still have damage and I'm still sore. I mean, all of us have worked out hard enough in one workout to be sore for more than 2 or 3 days. So I can continue to recover, but the muscle building signal is no longer there. So now I'm just recovering, right? And so what people do, the mistake they make is they beat themselves up super, super, super hard because they think it's all about recovery, but it's not. It's actually about that muscle building signal. But why do bodybuilders get away with it? Why do physique competitors get away with training one body part?
Because they're running an anabolic that keeps that signal 24/7. They have room for error.
Bingo.
They can get away with doing that because of that.
They are constantly anabolic. They are on high doses of hormones, which among all the things that testosterone and its derivatives and its, you know, the different type of steroids that are analogs of testosterone, among all the things that they do, one of the main things that they do is they signal muscle growth. It's a very loud signal in the body. And if I'm constantly at this, you know, 5,000%, you know, testosterone signal in my body because I'm taking artificial testosterone, you know, exogenously, then I'm going to have a high muscle building signal. So I can just beat the crap out of my muscle Monday, and I'm not too worried about that muscle building signal because I already have one that's there from the testosterone injections or whatever.
I think a lot of this, like, that's the frustration, I think, for a lot of athletes, that they get information from people they look up to that they're like, wow, I want to look like that, and I want to look like this guy, and I want to train like this athlete. And then when you find out, like, that they have this artificial hormone that they've been using to help aid in their recovery, it taints it for me, because for me it's like, you know, if you're putting out information that's educational and you're trying to talk to your average person, like, this is so frustrating, because this puts us back into that place where we're like, okay, well, he, you know, he's doing this, but this is really like helping him get through that workout and recover, and that's why he's getting these types of gains. Like, that's really what's happening, you know, and so it's really hard to combat that all the time. And I'm not the first to like condemn people that are, you know, out there using anabolics and all these things. I just, it's hard for me to then takes your average person and explain, you know, like the difference.
Yeah, I'm all pro anabolics. I'm for it.
Right.
The problem is the people that run them and do them don't know what the fuck they're doing. That's the problem. That, I mean, you got,
because let's be honest, Adam, you work out and know a lot of these people.
Yeah.
They can get away with what they're doing.
Yes.
But if they increase the frequency of the training, would they get better?
Oh,
gains?
My God. That's the thing that's that. And it right. still goes back to the.
It still works.
It still goes back to the sprinter, the marathon runner, the hockey player, the, like we were saying when we first started. The same rule still applies. Sure, if you put all those guys on anabolics, their body would respond still too, but they still would have still followed that protocol. A marathon runner still would not, on anabolics or not on anabolics, would still not come out the gates and sprint the first mile. A hockey player or a football player is not going to Monday through Friday before game days on Sunday, Monday through Friday, is not going to be playing full speed contact, hitting each other as hard as you possibly can to get ready for their game. Like,
right.
It just doesn't make anabolics or no anabolics. You yeah. still wouldn't. So the bodybuilders, it just baffles me that we haven't figured this out yet. Like, why do we still think because we run anabolics that this is the better way? It's not.
What's interesting is right. back in the day when I was a kid and I would read like Flex Magazine and Muscle and Fitness, they would have a lot of articles by bodybuilders who had retired at that point. So these were bodybuilders from the 70s that would write in these magazines for the 90s, right? And they would always, you know, write up what routine that they did. And then at the end of it, they always said, if you're a beginner or intermediate, you should work out the full body 3 days a week before you advance, they would say, to the body part split. I remember this all the time. I would always see it. Now, me...
Which is ironic. I think it's backwards.
Right. Well, me being a kid, I'm looking at them like, I want to be advanced, so I'm going to... Here's what they were actually saying. Here's the code that they were saying. Train like this, and then when I started taking steroids, I started training like this. That's what they were actually saying. The reality is, whether you're natural or not, you're going to do better with more frequency.
Right.
I think they just, like we're saying, they just get away with less frequency and with more intense
workouts.
Yeah,
they can
workouts.
Get away with it. Yeah,
they get away with it. But if you increase that frequency of training, you're going to see far better results. I mean, right. honest to God, those two things, like train each body part more frequently and train intensely, but don't train to failure. Just do those two things right now to your routine. You don't even have to buy maps. If you buy our programs, it's all planned out. It's got everything you need. You follow it. You're very likely to get excellent results. But if you don't want to invest any money or whatever, and you're like, I want to do this on my own, just do those two things. Train more frequently. Don't go to failure. Watch what happens.
Well, what do you think? I have my theory on what do you think is the main reason why it is? Why they do that? I think it's because these guys, I think it's lazy.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's lazy. And the reason why I feel that way, because I think I was. Yeah. When I really think about what made, it wasn't like I was hell-bent on a body part split, but I like the luxury of knowing that I was just going to go to the gym and today was arm day, or I was just going to go to the gym and today was just chest day. Mm-hmm. And then I would dread deadlifting or squatting or overhead pressing, which were big movements, yeah. big motor movements.
A lot harder.
Yeah. Way harder. You know, I mean,
well, and there's a whole culture around it too. You know what I mean? Arm day, leg day, you know, like everybody sort of like makes it into a big thing. And that's just been like sort of what everybody
a good point, because when you do full body, if you do a full body 3 day a week routine, that means you're working your legs out 3 days a week.
Yes.
And a lot of these dudes, a lot of these gym rats and stuff,
that, man.
They don't want to fucking work their legs out 3 days a week, especially if they got to do some kind of a squat. Dude,
a squat, a deadlift, or an overhead press, if that's in your routine three times a week, you're working out, man.
Well, it's a different mentality too, because it's like, well, I don't want to. My quads get too big, you know. If I get them too much, and you know, my waist is getting too blocky. And I don't fucking
bullshit.
Understand that mentality. Yeah. I just don't understand it. So I'll never understand it.
Here's a visual. Here's a visual that I like to think about when I think about training frequency and how to utilize that. Okay, imagine a balloon that's filled with helium, but it's like 2 days later. So the balloon, you ever see this after a party? It's like, it's on the floor, but if you kind of hit it up in the air, it floats a little bit. And then
the last time he gave a balloon analogy, we talked about nuts.
That's exactly what I was thinking in my head.
That's all I can picture, nutsacks. A nutsack.
It's filled up with water and it's just dangling.
Next
on,
time
on
you get...
Nothing like you guys... Nothing
you gotta
like
get... You, you can't do that. You can't cross analogy.
Nothing, yes. nothing like okay. you guys to derail a conversation.
Well, it was only like three episodes ago you talked about a guy's nutsack looking like
a
balloon.
Soon.
Yeah, way too soon.
Give me...
That analogy's still in my head.
Hold on. Give me a second, because this is a good visual. Trust me,
no.
love this.
Okay.
So this balloon, it barely floats.
And so when, this old man's nutsack.
No,
he's also used balloon. Knot.
So Just listen to what I'm saying.
Just so you know.
Listen to what I'm saying. And every and you can tap it underneath it and it floats up in the air. That's the anabolic signal. So if I hit it hard one time, if I hit the balloon hard one time, it'll go up real high. And that's my loud anabolic signal. But then it slowly starts to float down. And so what I want to do is instead of letting it flow all the way back down before I hammer it back up, is I want to tap it and keep it up in the air. Keep that anabolic signal on.
I'm still thinking of testicles. Right. Sorry.
So this is what you're doing. You have your hard, heavy, intense foundational workouts. And then in between, you do very light, what we call trigger sessions or focus sessions or mobility sessions in our programs to continue to keep that anabolic signal loud and clear. So basically, what you're doing effectively 7 days a week is you're having a muscle building signal. You are sending your body a build muscle signal all the time, 24 hours a day. And in fact, trigger sessions, the way we design trigger sessions, is you do them throughout the day. So, you know, if yesterday was my heavy, hard foundational workout and today's my trigger session day, I'm doing 3 5-minute trigger sessions today. That means I'm sending an anabolic signal in the morning, in the afternoon, and again in the evening. And this is why people are getting crazy results with it. And it's really because we understand frequency, and that's just not understood anymore.
Well, can I tell you that our greatest challenge with our programs is getting people to work out less. That's our greatest challenge. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but that's
our only return rate is based on those people that just can't get out of that.
Yeah, they're
mentality.
Like, well,
I have to kill myself.
Yes, they plan to go to the gym 7 days a week, which I do too. But they feel that necessity to I have to just pound away at the body 6 7 days a week, and I'm going to get there faster. And it's like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you, that's just like the damn marathon runner running full speed out the gates. Like, yeah, you might be ahead of me for the first mile,
yeah,
but watch me cruise by in mile six, and then you'll never see me again after that.
That's it.
So that's people just don't understand that. And you know, now that we have done so many episodes, a lot of people haven't listened to a lot of the stuff that we talked about before. So I think it's important that we revisit things like this, because it's such a controversial topic. When you're opening up a magazine or you're following some, fitness icon, and you know, there's so much crap they're putting out there.
Dude, I can't wait, because it's going to happen. I cannot wait for a professional competitor, bodybuilder, whatever, who's on a shit ton of gear, who's already looking crazy. I cannot wait for one of them to approach us.
Imagine that.
I can't wait for one of them to approach us and say, okay, guys, what can I do, you know, with my routine, and for us to tweak it just a little bit, increase your frequency, don't go to failure, you know, let's do this, and just to watch the looks on their faces when they fucking explode.
Oh, well, it's
because they're such hyper responders anyway.
It's just like what you said about like how the thought process with, you know, even these huge, larger than life athletes that are bodybuilders, that if they can stop thinking about how to artificially enhance themselves versus, you know, altering their lifting in their program and what they're doing in the gym, that's going to be a huge accomplishment, you know, for people like us to see.
Well, I had you just reminded me the other day, I was at working out at Gold's and ran into my buddy, and he had a workout partner, and we were talking, and the guy started asking me about steroids, what I thought about steroids. And so I gave him my opinion. And so this guy, who's probably he looked pretty young, he's probably in his 20s. He's on. He's been taking testosterone, and he told me his doses. Now
you say he's 20s.
He's in his 20s.
Early or late?
He looked like maybe mid 20s.
Okay.
So I'm looking at this kid, and he looks impressive. He doesn't look like he's out of shape or anything like that. He looks muscular. But when me and him are working out and we're pumped, standing next to each other, I look more impressive than he does. And he's taking all these steroids, and I know it's because, and he's got good genes, I could tell, and I've seen him work out. He does those long body part split routines. So I tried to kind of tell him a little bit, like, dude, if you do this, because I know what he could look like. You know what I mean? You ever see someone like that?
Oh,
like,
yeah, no.
Oh, man, I know what you can look like, especially doing
especially
what you're doing.
20 years old, man.
Oh, dude, if he changed his routine, you know, and I didn't say it to him like this, because I just, you know how people are, they're really protective of their and defensive about their workouts and whatever.
Yeah.
But I know, like, if he did increase his frequency and trained a little differently and stopped getting off so many machines and doing, you know, some of the stuff that we talk about, he'd put on, I'm not exaggerating, 12, 15 pounds. It would be a dramatic gain in muscle. That's what actually happened to my cousin. I never told you guys this, but my cousin Gabriel, who probably my whole family, we've got some people in my family that can build muscle pretty decently. he's probably one of the best. He's got really, really good muscle building genes, and he followed a split for a long time. And I switched him, you know, a couple years ago. This is back when I was developing the original MAPS, MAPS Anabolic. I switched him, and I'm not exaggerating. I think it was like 6 weeks. He put on 7 pounds of lean body mass.
Damn.
Like in 6 weeks. And he doesn't take shit. Like he doesn't take creatine. He doesn't take protein powders, nothing.
Yeah.
And all he did was switch around, and I remember he's texting me. He's like, holy shit, I gained 7 pounds. And my waist and my pants, it did not get any bigger. Like, he's same body fat percentage, just 7 pounds of lean body mass. Yeah. And that's all he did mm-hmm. was switch that. So,
do you know, this reminds me
it
of
works,
the,
man.
The myth that goes around the anabolic steroid world, too, is that everybody thinks that you, you know, if you take steroids, you get huge. And then when you come off of them, you lose everything. And then you become small again. And the reason why that myth continues is because most of the people taking them are idiots, and most of the people that take them, they guess what? Like we said earlier, when you're on anabolic, you can get away with poor program design, poor diet, and you will build muscle because you're sending a signal 24/7.
That's interesting. I haven't even thought of
that. And then as soon as they get off of it, they lose and they go all the way back. And then it was just
because they train like they did before.
Right.
They had no idea.
Eat the right. Right. They have their nutrition and their program design is so off. That, yeah, okay, you hop on gear, and of course it's going to promote this huge muscle gain because of you guy totally natural goes to a guy.
It's like your first 2 weeks of CrossFit. You know? I look lean and awesome. And,
right.
Oh, my God, I think I'm going to die.
It's exactly like that, and people don't realize that the root problem is their program design and their nutrition. It has nothing to do with this whole anabolic, not being anabolic situation. But most people correlate that together because of the simple fact that they've noticed that, you know, they put a bunch of weight on, and then as soon as they get off the gear, then all of a sudden they lose all of it. So what ends up happening is you get a lot of these younger guys that experience that in their early 20s or whatever. And then in their mind, that's how they forever relate the physique that they want to have. Like maybe they've never reached their peak physique or the look that they were always trying to obtain or whatever it may be, or their size, but the best they ever felt was when they were taking anabolic. So in their head, if I ever want to achieve that type of physique or be at that level, I've got to take anabolics because that's the only thing that ever could get me that much more, that much help.
Have you guys seen on social media these like squat everyday challenge?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So people will do it, and a lot of people who are fit will do it, and then all of a sudden get like ridiculous results. Like, oh my God, I got way stronger my squats from squatting every single day. And it's like, yeah, you finally are starting to tap into how frequency can truly affect muscle growth and fat loss. And by the way, we've talked in the past about how resistance training in the long term is an extremely effective way to speed up your metabolism and burn body fat. Increasing the frequency of your training, even if you don't do any more work. Remember, total work for the week won't be more. You're just hitting the body parts more frequently. Doing it that way will also burn more body fat. We keep talking about building muscle, but if you want to get lean, you train this way, you'll get lean faster and more effectively because of the indirect effect of amplifying your metabolism from more muscle.
Oh, it's way... That's why I was saying that. I feel like the main real reason why people do body sport is laziness. Mm-hmm. It's way shoulders, arms, calves. I mean, all these small muscles are way easier to do on a day by themselves. You know what I'm saying? Chest, and even you do all of your big back legs and chest in a day.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah, that takes work, man. A lot of calories are burned doing that.
And this is why in our programs you have 3 of those workouts a week. You have 3 of those full body, what we call foundational workouts a week. That doesn't mean you're not active on the other days. We have trigger sessions, or what we call focus sessions in MAPS Aesthetic, or mobility sessions in MAPS Performance. So you're active if you want to be. And here's the thing, like, we're not anti-exercise by any means. If you want to be active every single day, you are with our programs. You do either trigger session, focus sessions, or mobility sessions on all the days off. So if you want to be in the gym 7 days a week, you can be, and you can take advantage of those types of things.
Well,
just be very smart with how you modify your intensity along with all that.
I'll share with how I do that. So because I am a 7 day a week guy, and I'm always in the gym. I love to be in the gym, and for me, it's partly meditation. So, you know, someone asked me the other day, like, you know, Adam, I thought you were in the gym 7 days a week, and then I get your MAPS anabolic program, and it says you're only in the gym 3 times a week, and then the rest are trigger sessions where you're at home or doing something else. I said, no, I still go 7 days a week. But see, sometimes like for me, if I'm like, maybe I'm tired, like today's an early day. I've been up super early. I'll go to the gym today. And today I might just take two or three of our big foundational movements, and that will be my focus for that day. And then the next day I'll come back and I'll finish the other three or four that were on part of that program. So collectively in the week's time, my volume is still equating out to the same of what I'm doing on the.
I do that a lot too.
Yeah. You know, so, and then, you know, someone else might think that's kind of like a body part split, but it, you know, I'm hitting multiple muscle groups. I might just not hit every single one of them that workout, depending on how I feel. And then other days I'm going to feel great and I'm going to go all the way through it. So, you know, and sometimes I might accidentally overdo a foundational day. I'm in the rhythm, music's pumping, I'm feeling great, I'm pushing myself. And then I find myself get really sore. I might do back to back two trigger days. I might, or in this case where I'm on MAPS Black right now, I might do back-to-back focus session days.
Well, see, yeah. So here's the takeaway from that, right? So we're very experienced with our training, our bodies. We're also very experienced with program design for other people. And so for us, we can program design for ourselves on the fly. I can literally program design as I'm going along within a workout for myself. That's how well I know myself now at this point, and because I do this for other people. We have a lot of people now that have been doing our programs who've gone through them 2-3 times, who are now learning their bodies and understanding how to apply these principles, who are starting to modify. And some of the modifications that they're putting out are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm loving it. But that's just the thing. Like, they understand now how to manipulate these mm-hmm. variables. And so here's your takeaways. Here, from this episode, if you could take away just a couple things that's going to greatly impact how your body responds in the positive to resistance training, it's this. Take your total workload for your body parts. Take your total sets for chest, back, shoulders, arms, legs, whatever. And rather than doing chest, you know, 12 sets on Monday, divide those sets up and do them on 2 or 3 days. That's all. Just do that. Just take your total workload. Don't change the workload, but split it up so that you've increased the frequency of your training.
And don't do more because you think it will be more.
No, don't right. do more.
Don't do more.
Do the same.
Don't do more because you think it's going to, you know, more is always more or better for me, right? No, it's not. Sometimes less is more.
Right.
So you're trying to apply the frequency. That's the principle.
That's
here.
It.
That's what we're trying to do.
And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that when you do chest 3 days a week instead of do all those sets on one day, that each of those times you train, you can bench press, and you can bench press probably heavy, or you can dumbbell press, or you can incline press. You're going to find that you're not going to want to do all the little cable machine exercises because, you know, I did 3 sets on or 4 sets on Monday. Today's Wednesday. Yeah. I feel like I could do bench press again. So you're going to be able to get in those more effective exercises, what you're going to find. You're going to find that when you train, you might still be a little sore from your previous workout. But you know what's funny? You're still going to get stronger. Mm-hmm. That always trips people out. Like, I'm sore from squats on Monday, but today I'm squatting and I'm stronger. How the hell does that happen? It's like this adaptation. Adaptation is different from recovery. That was in a previous episode. We talked about that. And the second thing you could take away from this episode is just don't go to failure. Don't lift until you can't move the weight anymore. Stop about 2 reps before you think you're going to reach that point. Mm-hmm. So stop when you know you can squeeze out max 2 more reps. Stop at that point and then rest and then do your next set. And those two things alone, I can guarantee you the vast majority of you, like 90% of you listening right now, mm-hmm. do those two things. You will not see a little bit of a change. You will be blown away by the difference those two little things make in your program.
It'll be huge.
And with that said, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Check out our programs on mindpumpmedia.com. Don't forget, they're all included. Now, all of our MAPS programs are included in our super bundle. And you can also check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.